And now, I'd like to show my love by making for you a Quebec pizza.
What's that?
Pop-Tart with the ketchup. She's good.
Daniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough roads to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Ba-la-la-la.
It's showtime.
Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, episode 153 for Sunday, December 3rd, 2017. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like Hanging with Heaven, Tim and Tom, and the Tuts Experience. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before I get to the panel, let's get into the contact information. Oldschoolmovies.net is the site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy, oldschoolmovies2@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at STFU, tweet me at STFU Old School, hashtag OSATM. All your tweets, hashtag OSATM, they will be read and discussed on the show. Our panel this week, got a couple of fan favorites, of course, our Iron Man, Mr. Heavy Set.
If there's a need for a rescue mission, when the world is threatened, when the world needs help, it calls on America. So I know who's asked to kick.
Fun isn't something one considers when balancing the universe, but this does put a smile on my face.
Dude, where's my car?
And we've got Carpe Diem.
Dude, where's my car? Where's your car, dude?
I don't know where my car is, because we're doing podcast and stuff. Sound familiar?
Is it with the train?
Well, I want to talk about Justice League and
All right.
What's up, Dave?
Yeah, I know. The amount I had to cut out of that was ridiculous.
I knew as soon as listening to him last week while he was talking that you were gonna freak the fuck out.
Listen, all I can say is the final product, I did a number on it, but it came out well. So there
and
you go.
You got to give Old School credit. He put it out in time.
I did.
Wait, what?
Yep. Yes, sir.
Lies.
All right. We got big.
Did you hire anybody to do it? Is
no,
that why?
I did not hire anybody.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Was it Phil? Did you get Phil to
no,
do it?
No.
Of course he did.
Fuck you guys. I'm efficient. All right. Let's get.
You know, if you got Phil, Phil.
Shut up.
Was it Phil or was it Sea Money or Diamonds? Oh, Johnny Diamonds learned how to edit and do a really good job at it.
Oh my god! If I sent you the original audio, you'd kill yourself. All right.
Could be worse.
Avengers: Infinity War trailer has dropped. Let's listen to it and get our thoughts on it.
Love it.
All right. Was great.
All right, next.
I got the chills and I ejaculated at the same time.
Did your pubes do what Spider-Man's hair did?
There was an idea to bring together a group of remarkable people to see if we could become something more. So when they needed us, we could fight the battles
that they never could.
In time, you will know what it's like to lose. To feel so desperately that you're right, yet to fail all the same. Run from it. Destiny still arrives.
Evacuate the city. Engage all defenses. And get this man a shield.
Fun isn't something one considers when balancing the universe. But this...
does put a smile on my face. Who the hell are you guys?
Oh, shit. Nice. Guardians. Fuck, man. Yeah. Like, listen, I'm the biggest DC fucking jagoff specialist, and this is like, yeah, everybody's in it. Fucking ridiculous. Probably cost, just on salary alone, it's probably cost $500 million just on the cast. I don't even want to know. And it's still going to make $8 trillion. It's fucking ridiculous. Yeah, this is how you do it, DC. This is how you do it, man. Yeah. All right. Who's up?
Well, simple fact is, I feel like this is a big giant, hey, DC and Warner Brothers, fuck you. You've moved on us. And guess what? We're going to make $1 billion more for one movie more than all of your movies combined.
Yeah. Heavy.
Tread it. Run from it. Destiny still arrives.
Fuck. Wow.
I'm wearing my Infinity Gauntlet right now because I'm so excited. My only gripe about the whole thing is I was one of the people who illegally watched videos that were, I legally watched videos that were illegally posted to YouTube of the D23 and San Diego Comic-Con.
Okay.
Trailer that they released. That one I think is better, even in the shitty ass quality that you can find it in. And I think it's ironic because in this one, the last thing they show you is the Guardians. In that one, the one that was illegally put out there, the first thing they show you is the Guardians and everything about them and how we're getting into this with Thanos. And there's some lines from Mantis in Gamora where they say, like, where he walks, death follows, or something like that. Like, that's who Thanos is. Been waiting for this for a long time, and now there's 156 days until Infinity War comes out. And I think this is going to be the pinnacle, and there's a lot of talk with a lot of other movies. What we're going to get going into this, because one of the biggest questions I have is, where the fuck is the goddamn Soul Stone? Still haven't fucking revealed it, but there's been chatter for a couple years, ever since the whole Thanos theory was revealed. For those who don't know, it's every Infinity Stone, the name that we call it or something associated with it, will spell out Thanos. There was a Tesseract. There currently is no H. The A is for Aether. The N is necklace for the Eye of Agamotto, but some people say like that's forced. O is the orb, and the S is the scepter from Loki. And a lot of us are trying to figure out where the fuck thought the H. Some people thought it meant hammer for Mjolnir. Some people thought it meant Heimdall, which is something we talked about last week. And I guess there's actually theories that it could be in Wakanda for Black Panther. And that could be a reason why part of the team is going to be in Wakanda for this movie. Like I said before, I'm so excited for this. I'm going to bring my Infinity Gauntlet when I watch this movie. And no movie between now and May, in my eyes, is going to be as important as this one.
I mean, Black Panther might help, because Black Panther comes out at the end of winter?
February, I believe.
Yeah.
I'm saying in my book, like...
Oh, I think we're actually going to see the Soul Stone at some point in the Black Panther movie.
I still think Heimdall has it, because it's, like I said, something we talked about. And it seemed to be, like, they just didn't say that he has the Soul Stone. But there, I guess there's things that are in Wakanda and people in Wakanda that could fit the Thanos theory, and things that also fit what the Soul Stone is. But I think it's funny, a couple months ago, before Thor, before even we can go back before Guardians of the Galaxy 2, a lot of people thought, we're not getting anything in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, because we already got that during the first one. We're not going to get anything in Black Panther, because why would there be another one on Earth? So it's got to be in Thor. Now we've seen Guardians, we've seen Thor. No fucking Soul Stone anywhere, no mention of it, but he has to have it at some point. And where they actually show the Infinity Gauntlet in the trailer, he has two. He has his purple and green, which that's the time stone, and the, what's the orb? The power stone?
I think so. I'm really looking forward to when he rips off Vision's head to get his stone.
Oh my God.
Sorry, Paul Bettany. Things aren't going to end well for you.
Oh, dude, Scarlet Witch is going to go nuts.
Now, does this possibly become the highest grossing movie of all time?
I think it has the potential, because this is the first movie in a long time that has had this many movies within a series, building it up over 10 years. And this will be the 10th anniversary of Iron Man 1. No movie's done this. No movie did it going up to Avengers 1. But then in between, you know, the second and the third phase, they started to build a bigger picture. They started to actually build towards Thanos. And this is was the difference between Marvel and DC. DC, I don't know what the hell they're building towards, but there seems to be...
The word is failure.
In Marvel, phase 1 was obviously a build-up towards the Avengers. And we felt it. Everybody loved it. And then the last second, they show you Thanos. And that sets the pace. That sets the tone. And through the next two phases, they started introducing Infinity Stones. And they were like, oh yeah, remember the Tesseract? That's an Infinity Stone. You know that spear or scepter that Loki has? What's causing to do all this magic power? Oh, that's Infinity Stone too. They built up a great story. Took 10 years, and we're going to get a two-part movie out of it, and we don't even know what Avengers 4 is going to be called.
Is this a two-parter?
But here's what they said. Originally, it was supposed to be Avengers Infinity War Part 1 and 2.
Okay.
And then they said, no, we've changed our minds. It's going to be Avengers Infinity War Part 1. I mean, Avengers Infinity War for that what is now, or what was known as Part 1, right. And Untitled Avengers 4 in 2019. We're not going to tell you the title because it will ruin something.
Oh, wow.
So what a lot of people are guessing is it's something happened. Something is important with Avengers 3, with Infinity War, that's going to cause this title. But I think that's what makes it interesting because no one knows for sure. There's speculation. There's speculation that certain characters are going to die or certain characters are going to retire. And I kind of think it could be they could go the route of New Avengers, and they could go the route of a different timeline. They could go Thanos takes the Time Stone and goes.
I mean, it almost may, like if I just look at it financially, because the amount it's going to cost to film these movies, it almost makes sense to do them one back to back and two to split it into two movies just for the cash grab. You almost have to.
They're filming Avengers 4 right now.
Yeah.
You do know Justice League attempted that, right? Justice League was supposed to be two parts. Well, now they might not even get any more because they fucked up.
Yeah, they totally
It was supposed to be Justice League with the introduction of the bad guy as part of the main super bad guy who you're supposed to meet in Justice League Part 2. But now there's other potential things happening, and now they don't know what's happening because they're losing $100 and something million. So,
no, but no matter what, both Justice Leagues would still be number twos.
Yeah, a big steaming pile of number two.
Yeah, it's
so.
Yeah.
All right, old school.
Yep.
Is it just because of the Nolan Batmans that you verbally fillet DC so much?
I've been a Batman fan since I was a kid, especially for the movies.
But you've never seen any of the Supermans, right?
No, I've seen the first two, the last two. Sorry. Not the originals.
So you've seen Superman Returns, which was a shit show.
Yeah.
And Man of Steel, which was okay at best.
I love Man of Steel. I thought it was great.
You know what? I originally loved it, and then I rewatched it. I'm like, you know what? Not that great.
Yeah, but you're a little biased, so I don't know.
I'm not a little biased. I actually enjoyed Suicide Squad on a certain level because I've read the comic books. They should have had a different villain in Suicide Squad, which everybody says it does. But now with the whole Justice League shitting the bed, I mean, I was looking forward to a Flashpoint movie. I just do not want anybody at Warner Brothers to even touch it and them to find somebody completely new unless they get the woman who did Wonder Woman to do the rest of DC.
And I mean, at the rate this Weinstein shit's going, she might be the only director left to do it. You know what I mean? And why not? Fuck, let her try it. I mean, Wonder Woman worked out so well. Give her the Batman movie. Give her a fucking Green Lantern movie. And Heavy's mentioned this a couple times. I think you've mentioned it too. It's the slow play that makes these Avenger movies so interesting. You know what I mean? Like a 10-year build. You know, when you're trying to rush this 1 or 2 years, you're not going to have that same emotional connection.
But it's also been the thing of that, you know, Iron Man was this type of movie.
Yeah.
Captain America, first one was a period piece. Second one was a spy movie. Third one was, you know, best friends fighting. Every Marvel movie has had something, you know. The first Thor was a fantasy adventure. Second one was kind of this. Third one is in space, and it was good. And, you know, Thor Dark World, not that great. Iron Man 3, I mean, the guy's got PTSD. No other superheroes movies going to deal with that type of shit. Marvel and Disney know what the fuck they're doing. Warner Brothers and DC have no fucking clue what to do. They cannot catch up. They're fucked.
Old School, did you watch that video that I posted in GroupMe about DC?
I did. I did not, but I did not.
Hi, Old School.
Oh, hi, Old School. I was going to play it, but I just noticed it's 25 minutes long. So unfortunately, we can't play the show.
The guy brings up a lot of points. I mean, granted, some of it are comic book related. And since I'm not a comic book fan, I think it's kind of funny. He explains why people aren't into comic books. And then he explains why, like, this is a problem with Hollywood and how they prepare for movies. This guy explains when they make these movies, they only read like a couple and you don't get a real feel for the character. But Marvel lately has, like, you can tell each movie, like, they pull a couple different comics and they're like, all right, we're going to take a little bit from this one. We're going to take a little bit from this one and a little bit from this one. And like, oh, these comic books are stories and we're going to put this into a movie. Like with Batman, you can tell with this new Zack Snyder Batman, what ones were read and they aren't really accurate representation. And he explains how a lot of other mediums have gotten Superman and Batman right. And it's mostly because the perception of both Batman and Superman are different than what the comic books are.
So when you say gotten it right, for example, you're saying if they do not follow the comic book verbatim or follow it really well, then you would see that as bad, even though it's, you know, a fictional piece. With most movies, they will tend to
change the story around
a little bit. You know what I mean?
It's getting the characters.
Okay. But what do you mean by that? The look, the personality? Like,
I'll first suggest you to watch the video.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Because he talks about the perception of, like I said, Batman and Superman to the public. And I think one great example is for many years, Batman was considered campy and jokey because of the Adam West Batman. And right around that time in the comic book, they started to make him darker. They started to make him meaner. And it's all backlash because of that. And then we learned later on the perception of the general public when they made the Tim Burton Batman is, oh, Batman can be dark. Batman can be gritty. Still a little campy and all that kind of stuff with like some of the parts of the Joker, but there's a different tone and it's that perception. And I think he also mentions a great example of how Superman is perceived. And he even uses the dialogue or a little bit of a monologue from Kill Bill.
Oh, okay.
Said about how Superman, like his secret identity is actually Clark Kent. Bruce Wayne is actually Batman, but it's actually Superman is actually Clark Kent. And actually, the funny thing is he takes that whole thing and he says, that's bullshit. Because when it comes down to it, even in the comic books, Superman grew up as Clark Kent. He was a regular, ordinary kid. He has this background. It wasn't just, I'm an alien, boom, I'm here. Yeah. Oh, I'm an alien, but I'm on Earth. He's actually has a human element to him. And that's me just trying to explain it. Like I said, it's a good 25-minute video. It's something I stumbled across on YouTube. And I think it really does tell you some of the issues with DC.
So at this point, what did he do? Do you agree with Karp? Like, get the director who directed Wonder Woman? Because it seems to be the only thing that came out of the shit show that people really enjoy. Do you get her to do it? Do you bring Nolan back?
I think you need to get the right people for the jobs. Yeah. And it could be just some of the directors aren't doing enough work. Some of the casting isn't necessarily the best either. Ooh, I want to kind of go back to what I was saying about the whole perception. Aquaman in this movie kind of shows you, because everybody has known, or the joke for years because of the Super Friends is Aquaman sucks.
Yeah.
He's just horrible. Like, what does he do? Talk to fishes? And that's a common joke over the past so many decades. And in the comic books, there's been this whole, I guess, reinvention of Aquaman. And this movie showed you like, hey, Aquaman can be a badass. Next 10 to 20 years, that might be the perception. Hey, Aquaman's a bad motherfucker. Yeah. But you need to get people who do the proper research, or at least know what the characters are like. I mean, it sounds like very important, but I don't know if it's one of those things you can really gauge, because the only way you can really gauge is how the movies come out. And there's a reason why Marvels are so good.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole Aquaman argument, you know,
dude, bro, right?
Well, no, but in the movie, he was a little too dude bro. But in the comics books, he's always been ridiculously powerful. It's the same thing with Thor, the original Thor comic books. Thor was two different people. He was a human doctor. And then when he would summon the power of lightning, he would become Thor, the god of thunder. So they completely got rid of that because that's some shit back from like way back in the day. You know, they're trying to include too much of the old where at least Justice League was trying the new 52 stuff, where his in the comic books, Justice League, the original stuff, Cyborg was never part of the team. He started with the Teen Titans. And then in the 52, Cyborg pretty much went straight to Justice League with bad CGI and all. And Cyborg is also, like, they only show an inkling of his power in the movie. They did it wrong. They should have had Flash, Cyborg, you know, before. Or at least Flash and Aquaman before. I'm going to go watch the Aquaman movie. I'm hoping it's not going to suck ass. If it's anything like his Injustice storyline, I think it would be super cool, but they honestly don't know what the fuck they're doing, and it's pathetic. They failed at this. Warner Brothers failed at the DC Universe. They failed at the Marvel, the Warner Brothers Dark Universe, Universal Monster Universe that they wanted to do. That failed too. I mean, and with Marvel, it's all fun. It's people are going to go see the fun movie before the attempt at dark and brooding all the time.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's just dark. I think there's a lot of factors to that Warner Brothers stuff. And I think the best way is just to give it a break and try to go that long game. Although I don't think Warner Brothers has the patience to do it, but I think that's the only way to really do it. Other movie news we want to discuss?
I don't think there is anything. Outside of more Hollywood sex monsters coming out. Jeez,
the Disaster Artist has been pushed back a week. I actually had a hosting thing that was supposed to be happening on Friday. It's only in limited release in certain U.S. cities. So it got pushed.
That's what I thought, because I thought I looked it up. And it looked like it's coming out the 1st, but it really isn't coming out till the 8th.
Yeah, so
No, it's coming out the 1st. I'm like, okay.
Well, Cart mentioned that too. It got released on the 8th. He saw the commercial during Monday Night Raw, and I was like, fuck. So now it's going to turn out that I'm going to see it live with Heavy Set, which is kind of cool too. So that worked out. We're going to watch that. And actually, for the fans of the room, we're going to play the honest trailer at the end of the show. It's really good. It's recapped other kind of things I've seen, but it does it justice too, which is good. So
starring footballs.
I fucking love that Honest Trailers guy. He's great. All right, that's the news for this week. Let's get into our movie reviews. Here we go. Heavy Set, you got a couple of movies to review from what I understand.
Because it was Thanksgiving weekend, I had a 4-day weekend, and we decided to watch two movies in the theater. I'm going to start with Daddy's Home 2. Basically, it's Daddy's Home 1 Christmas.
There you go. All right.
the grandfathers come in for Christmas, and they decide to have a all-in-one Christmas because there's like some problems with all the different stepkids, because you got to remember there's...
Is it kind of like Meet the Fockers? Like the same idea?
No. There's Will Ferrell's family, home family. Then there's Mark Wahlberg's. And then there's also like one of Mark Wahlberg's stepchildren, or the his one only stepchild, is the daughter of John Cena's character. So it's just a very complex household. So they're like, okay, they try to be co-dads minus John Cena between Ferrell and Wahlberg. So they decided we're going to have a all-in-one Christmas, like everybody's going to come over and we're going to celebrate it that way. Then the grandfathers come in, played by Mel Gibson and, I always forget his name because I want to call him so many different other names that I know they're not right.
Oh, I know who you're talking about too.
Trinity Killer from
Lithgow.
John Lithgow. Thank you. They come in and they're just the same kind of polar opposites that you saw in the first one with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg. And then the last thing I'll really get into about the storyline is when Mel Gibson's character gets in and they're all at home, he's like, well, I'll get us our own place. Like we'll get an Airbnb, we'll get a place all to ourselves for Christmas. So it's not just like we'll figure out which house we're gonna be at. Like, no, we're gonna go to this other place. And it's basically some of the same stuff from the first one, but set in a more Christmas scene. And then towards the end, about the last third of the movie, is when John Cena's character comes in, and that's pretty funny. Maybe not his best performance in a comedy, only because
the Amy Schumer one's the best, you find?
Yeah, that's hands down the best one. I think it's just because that was a funny character. A dude who's gay but act straight. So hilarious.
Yeah.
Does Mel Gibson go on an anti-Semitic rant and then murder his immigrant wife?
He is in a live nativity scene. So I won't get any more about it. There's a lot of different other dynamics. Like, they kind of do the same thing of Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg with the wives. Like, they kind of have their own rivalry, and like the kids are acting like kids, and it, I don't know how to explain it. I think I rated it about a 3.
Oh, geez. Like,
it's not, okay. No, it's not horrible.
3 out of 10. Like,
six. I think I always go out of 5. Whenever I do my reviews on Flixster, it's out of 5. So yeah, it does translate. It's a 6. It's a half. It's one of those, should you run out to the theater and see it right now? Not really. But unless you want a funny Christmas movie to go see before Christmas or during Christmas, yeah, sure. Give it a shot. It's perfect for that. Worst case scenario, wait till it comes out on home video. You're not really missing anything at the theater.
All right, cool. And you've also seen Coco, which did really well at the box office.
Let's go back to last week. Nothing big is coming out until Star Wars.
Carb said that.
Oh, Carb did say that, but you, because I re-listened to the episode on Monday after everything had happened, it was you who said it should be a more of the same between Thor and Justice League, and those two would do really well on the weekend. I was like, there's a little movie coming out called Coco. It's a Pixar movie. Pixar movies are good. Pixar movies are known for doing well. And this looks like one that could do it. Who was right?
I don't know. It's still debatable. It's up in the air right now.
This guy. And the reviews for Coco are through the roof. It's highly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and by many other people that I've spoken with and just read online. The only way I can describe it, it is a perfect Pixar movie. It's what you expect going into a Pixar movie. You are going to be a grown man and you might cry at the end. There's a reason why it's called Coco, and you have to watch to find out, because it all makes sense at the end. The one musician that he's looks up to isn't Coco either. I rated it a 4.5. So we're talking
out of 10.
No, God damn it. I rated it 4 out of 10. I mean, 4 out of 5 on Flixster and Rotten Tomatoes. So it's a 9. Nice. I'm really hesitant on giving a lot of movies 5 stars. Is it a movie you should go out and see right now? I would say yes. Wow. I will go see it again.
Jeez, in the theater.
Towards the end of its run.
Okay.
Because my girlfriend fell asleep during the movie. Since we have movie pass, like I'm not mad.
Yeah,
I'm
it costs not, you a buck. What do you care?
Well, it doesn't really. It costs, basically, it's $10 per month. And then the more I see movies,
the cheaper it gets. Yeah.
Cheaper that gets. So, like, that's her money she spent, because we pay on our own. So she feels like, I told him, like, you can fall asleep if you want. I don't care. I'm not paying. I didn't pay for your ticket. And she feels so bad and she wants to see it again. I'm like, well, we'll wait till it comes out at the Dollar Theater and we'll go see it in 3D. Because the 3D looks like it's going to be amazing with all the crazy shit that they did.
You still got your refill tub of popcorn and shit there too?
Yes. I will bring it with us to Disaster Artist if you want.
Cool.
Might even be able to hook you up with a large drink.
Look at this guy, man. Hooking me up.
Well, like I said, they have a deal. And it's a theater we're going to for Disaster Artist is that chain, Cinemark.
Okay.
And it's one of the tub of popcorn.
I'm a hot dog guy, so... That's I'm unconventional. How are their hot dogs?
He loves wieners in his mouth.
I love fucking theater wieners. I love it.
I'm not sure if they have,
especially hot dogs. From the glory hole.
I'm not sure if they have hot dogs, but basically, because I've mentioned before, like there's the thing of popcorn and the drinks.
Yeah,
they cost a full price the first time and then half off for the refills. By the time we go, to save you money, I'm hoping that they have the new ones for sale.
Okay,
because cool. I'm going to buy them early. And then you can use one of the older ones, still good, still up there. But it's like you don't have to spend the full price for something you're not going to reuse again. You get to use one of our reusables, and we can use the newer ones.
Mexico, $48 million for Coco from Mexico alone. Yeah,
it's like I said, it's really good. I downloaded 3 of the soundtrack songs, and they're technically all the same song that just use the different parts of the movie. One early on, one at the end, and the other one during credits. If you get a chance to see it, it's really fucking good.
Cool.
Like I said, there with all the other Pixar movies, such as Up, WALL-E, and Toy Story.
Awesome. If you're into animated movies, got a pretty high recommendation from Heavy Set. You should check it out. All right, let's get into the weekend box office. Break it down! It's Speaking about
Coke. We have Justice League. Oh, no, we don't. Oh, man. Who called that?
Fucking, you just love rubbing shit in, man. I we'll take you back to the WIR days. You just, it's like you're gearing up. It's like you're waiting. The second you heard that comment on Monday, you're like, oh, fuck, I can't wait. I can't wait to rub it in his fucking face.
I was checking numbers like on Friday and Saturday just because I was like, because obviously you don't pay attention to those type of movies. And like, I'm thinking this isn't an emoji movie. This is fucking Pixar. And after seeing the trailer a couple times during the summer, I started to get sold on it. And the more I seen it, the better it looked. And yeah. And even the thing I'll go, even, I should have said this in my review, is if you've seen the Bane theatrical trailer for it, it doesn't begin to tell you all the other parts of the story. You have this basic concept of the movie and the rest, they don't tell you. And I love that.
Yeah, I do agree. To have something that doesn't get revealed too much in the trailer is nice to see once in a while. So that's good. Okay, speaking of Coco, it had a weekend box office of $50 million and a total gross of $72 over the Thanksgiving Day weekend. Extremely well during this box office week. As a foreign of $82 million, I think half of that's Mexico, so I don't even think it's really hit all the major markets yet. It's got a total worldwide of $160 million. No production budget details, though. Usually these movies cost between $75 and $100 million. Justice League racked in another $41 million, down 56%, for a total domestic gross of $171 million. Once again, no production budget, but they do mention this movie could potentially lose $50 to $100 million. It's got a total worldwide gross currently of $487 million. Wonder had $22 million this week as a total domestic of $69 million. So yeah, surprising. Thor Ragnarok, $16 million this week, total domestic at $277 million. Number five, Daddy's Home 2, continues to disappoint with a grossing of $13 million this weekend, down 8.4%, but still only racking in $72 million domestically on a $69 million budget. Murder on the Orient Express got another $13 million, has a total domestic of $74 million. The Star, number seven, at $6.9 million, total domestic at $22 million. Bad Moms Christmas, $4.8 million. Total domestic gross of $59 million on a $28 million budget. Number nine, Roman J. Israel Esquire, $4.4 million with a total domestic of $6 million. And number 10, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, which got a wide release and made $4.4 million, total of $7 million. Upcoming movies this week, nothing.
Absolutely. This is something I thought of we should start doing on the show because you release this at the end or in the middle of a box office weekend, you're going to have a portion of the audience who are really not going to be able to listen to it till Monday.
Right.
So we should start doing the weekend after this gets released. So
I get what you're saying. Okay. So yeah,
works perfectly to, hey, there is a movie coming
disaster
up.
Disaster Artist. It's true. That does work perfectly, actually. Yeah. I think that's a good idea because really, you know, releasing it Sunday night to Monday, talking about stuff coming out, and the reviews could be a week or two old. That's not the end of the world. So that's okay. Yeah.
Reviews are fine. I think previews, it's like, hey, let's do this movie that comes out this weekend or just came out and you watched it 2 days ago.
Yeah, no, I think that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
So the whole weekend box office thing is off as well.
Well, it's off for the previous week, but not for the...
So from now on, when you're like, we're going to talk the box office numbers, you should say for the week of... And then mention that weekend.
Yes. Anything else we should be correcting at this point?
Yes.
That I should mark down?
Yes.
Should re-release the Room episode.
Yes, I'm going to re-release the Room episode.
And more during the episode. A lot more ums.
Okay. Let's try to give Dave back so we can get that happen.
Should we just listen to the episode while at the movies?
We could.
Something I thought about, but I'm like, nah, we'll just...
No. Because the thing is with the Room, and I haven't been to one of these live screenings, so I'm excited, but if people just scream out shit, they throw spoons. Like, I cannot fucking wait. It's going to be so fun.
The only thing is,
I'd like to get a bit earlier than you marked or suggested, because if we're near the front, we're going to get fucking nailed with spoons constantly from people throwing it from like the further rows.
Something that I did want to mention, whenever I shared the Honest Trailer on Facebook, I almost tagged you and said, dude, fuck you for introducing me to this shit.
That's amazing. Hey, man. It's, yeah. All right. So for the release on the weekend of Friday the 8th, we've got The Disaster Artist. And we've played the trailer already, so we're not going to play it again.
Now, you want to correct that.
It's really good.
You also want to fix that. You were going to say, coming out for wide release, as it's already on limited release. I'm just fixing you what fucking, you're making
no,
wrong.
No, you fucking anal piece of shit. Okay.
Wait, whoa. Hold on.
All right. So, yes. Listen, this just correct me the whole episode. Coming up for wide release.
I mean, you do think that the DC movies are better than Marvel, so you're wrong there.
Coming up for wide release, The Disaster Artist, starring... Actually, Tommy Wiseau is in it, which is great. The Franco brothers, Seth Rogen. Who else is in it? Sharon Stone's in it. All kinds of cameos. All kinds of fucking cameos. Even if you haven't seen The Room, check this out because it will give you a good introduction to this movie and how bad it is. Because it's based on the movie that's based on the book that's based on them. Check it out. It's not going to be this huge fucking thing, but I think you'd enjoy it. And if you've seen The Room, check it out. Just because, you know, a lot of books I read aren't made into movies. And it's really cool to see the Disaster Artist book that I've read and really enjoyed. It's going to get kind of made into a movie. So that's really fun. To see that on the big screen. I'm guessing it's a yay for everybody. It's definitely a yay for me and Heavy because we're going on the 8th. But Carp, is this on your radar?
Well, I haven't seen the original Room, and I don't have such a hard-on like you do for it. So, I mean, if I eventually catch it on Netflix, whatever. You know, I'm waiting for Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Remember Star Wars?
Also coming out the weekend of the 8th, Just Getting Started with Tommy Lee Jones, Morgan Freeman and Rene Russo. Is this one of these like old people that try to act young movies?
Dude, when I seen the poster for it, I thought it was just the Going in Style movie. And I'm like, wait a minute, that already came out. And I'm like, oh, this is a different movie. Oh, it looks the same.
That's what I'm guessing. Let's see.
A two-hander action comedy in the vein of Midnight Run about an ex-FBI agent, Tommy Lee Jones, and an ex-mob lawyer in the Witness Protection Program, Morgan Freeman, having to put aside their petty rivalry on the golf course to fend off a mob hit.
Let's check out the trailer and get our thoughts.
I'm Duke Diver, resident manager of this resort community. Music!
As a new resident, I think you're going to be very impressed with what we have here.
Oh, tango. Tai Chi.
People just seem so happy here.
Duke. The Duker.
The Duke.
He's our resident champion of everything around here.
Hey. Who is that in my parking spot?
It's Mr. Diver's spot.
Mr. Diver, make you wear those clothes.
There's new food on the buffet.
What the? 20 minutes. He's got them lined up for a three-way.
Four-way if anybody's counting.
I heard this is where the action's at.
Where you from, Leo?
I'm a citizen of the world.
Military?
Ex-military.
I gotta warn you, cousin, we play for real money here.
Some big brass wavos he's got.
Did you move to Villa Capri just to piss me off?
No, that was just a happy byproduct.
You and I, just getting started.
Tell me about how I'm supposed to live.
This was not an accident.
Somebody wants me dead.
Leo, you gotta get me the hell out of here. Why would I do that for you?
I got a big secret.
You wanna hear it?
Nope, not really.
I was the star witness against the mob.
And you went into witness protection.
You can't even do that right.
Agree to disagree, babe.
I think you and I could become cherished friends, Leo.
You need therapy.
I wonder if you would lift me like that.
Do you men hear yourselves?
No. Well, should we?
This is thrilling.
Stay calm. Probably just a gasoline leak.
So it's an electric car.
Did you ever change your appearance? And mess with this? I don't think so.
That's definitely not going to be in theaters. Maybe a Netflix for me, Carp.
No.
Okay. Heavy set.
Nope.
Wow. Okay. I got the little laugh there with the electric car thing. I thought it was cool. All right. That's going to be it for this week. Let's get our plugs and final thoughts. Carpe diem. What do you got?
Last ever episode of At CFL Easy Picks will be out before this. Give it a listen. Let us know what you thought of the series. As well, myself at Killer Carpe Diem. You can always find me at StableWars.com always, or we're looking for new members. And finally, allbeerinside.com. 20's out. 20.5 will be out before this as well. So give it a listen. Finally, if you want us, myself and Old School, to talk about anything on our road trip, tweet us and we'll discuss it on the car ride down. at All Beer Inside or allbeerinside.com.
Heavy Set, where can we find you online?
Like I've mentioned, Hang Out Heavy is taking a little bit of a hiatus until January, but you can still find me every week on Wrestling Cheers. Please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, Spotify, and Podbean, wrestlingcheers.podbean.com.
Check out a shirt at whatamaneuver.net.
Yes.
Buy it, support the show. You can find us at oldschoolmovies.net. All the info there to listen, comment, subscribe, blah, blah, blah. Tweet me at STFU Old School, hashtag OSATM if you'd like to get stuff mentioned on the show. So for Heavy Set, Carpe Diem, this is Old School saying thank you very much for listening.
In a world where most movies are just okay, one film will be so bizarre, so upsetting, and so aggressively bad, the sheer amount of suck will collapse in on itself like a dying star and explode in a supernova of unintentional genius. The Room. Tommy Wiseau stars in, writes, produces, and directs a film that puts the passion in Passion Project. Financed by a rumored $6 million of his own mysterious fortune and featuring 3 long minutes of his own mysterious butt cheeks, he's a man with a singular vision, a unique personal style, and a powerful message to share with the world. Maybe it's okay to give up on your dreams.
How can they say this about me? I don't believe it. I show them.
Journey to B-roll of San Francisco and meet Johnny, your everyday all-American Dracula.
You know, people don't have to say it. They can feel it.
Sometimes his emotions run hot.
You are tearing me apart, Lisa!
Sometimes he's so cold it's like he forgets he's on camera. But he always finds time to laugh at the little things.
Anything for my princess.
Or laugh for no particular reason. Or laugh at things you really shouldn't be laughing at.
One of them found out about it, beat her up so bad she ended up in a hospital on Guerrero Street.
Dude, what part of that is funny? Experience a story that at its core is a really simple love triangle where Johnny is engaged to Lisa, his wife of the future.
You're my future wife.
Lisa's your future wife.
After all, she's my future wife.
But she doesn't love him.
I don't love Johnny anymore. I don't love him anymore.
I don't love him anymore.
But I don't love him.
So she sleeps with Mark, his best friend.
Johnny's my best friend.
Johnny's my best friend.
Johnny's my best friend.
I know. He's your best friend.
But set that aside, because The Room has enough dangling plot threads to weave a blanket, like this endless, unexplained game of tuxedo football, Johnny's promotion at whatever his job is, these two friends who randomly appear and disappear throughout the movie, this drug deal that's never mentioned again.
Where's my f***ing money, Denny?
And the most casual eye of cancer of all time.
I got the results of the test back. I definitely have breast cancer.
You gonna react to that? No? Okay. Cool. Most movies cut straight to the interesting parts, but The Room is not most movies, where if a man makes a tape, you get to see him set up the equipment. If two friends have lunch, you see what everyone in front of them ordered.
And I'll take some cheesecake and a coffee.
Okay, once you guys have a seat, we'll have that right out for you.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing?
What would you like?
Can I get a bagel and a Americano?
Sure. Great, sure.
I'm gonna get a slice of cheesecake and a bottle of water.
Yeah, sounds good. Once you guys have a seat, we'll have that right out for you.
Oh, hi, Susan.
Well, hi, Johnny.
And if a man gives his fiancé flowers, you'll see exactly how that financial transaction went down. Spoiler alert! It was weird.
How much is it?
It'll be $18.
Here you go. Keep the change. Hi, doggie.
You're my favorite customer.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Do you like sex? Well, not for long, because you're about to watch an alien's approximation of human lovemaking, where a little man playing a little boy tries to join a threesome.
Three is a crowd.
These two randoms act like toddlers while they do it.
Arms up.
And Johnny does his best to penetrate the area around Lisa's belly button. Just close your eyes when the R&B comes on. Trust us. So enjoy this real-life version of Springtime for Hitler that's the pinnacle of so bad it's good filmmaking, spawning midnight movie screenings, Oscar-caliber films about its creation, and the enduring mystery of who Tommy Wiseau is, where he's from, where his money comes from, and how old he is. But some mysteries are probably better left unsolved. We've seen the guy's taint. I don't need to know any more. Starring Football, Spoon Art, Entrances and Exits.
Oh, hey guys.
I have to go now.
Hey. Oh, hey, hey guys.
I've got to go.
Oh, hi, Mark.
I got to go.
Oh, hi, Mark.
I have to go.
Oh, hi, Danny.
I have to go now.
Oh, hey, Lisa.
I better be going.
Oh, hey, Peter.
I got to go.
Oh, hi, Danny.
I got to go.
Oh, hi, Colette.
Oh, God, I have to run.
Don't worries.
Don't worry.
Don't worry.
Don't worry.
Don't worry.
Don't worry.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about Johnny. He's just being a big baby.
Generalizing about women.
Women change their minds all the time.
You think girls like to cheat like guys do?
They never say what they mean, and they always play games.
Sometimes they're just too smart. Sometimes they're flat out stupid. Other times they're just evil.
Falling for no reason. Lisa doesn't want to talk about it.
I don't 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 want to talk about it.
Focus! 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 And chicken?
Just a little chicken.
Chip, 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 chip.
The Room. Not Room. The Room. Very different. I like to think Lisa's mom isn't playing a character. She's just a lady who wandered in and started commenting on what she saw.
What are these characters doing here? How many people come in and out of this apartment every day? This is worse than Grand Central Station.